also said, to build and to plant. And in the riddle, followed by the direct prophecy of God, God said that a tender twig would be taken off of the cedar, the top of it, of David, the cedars of Lebanon dynasty, and that tender twig would be planted in the highest mountain of Israel, and it would grow to a tree that would cast a shadow that strange birds of other wings would find rest under its shade. A great empire. Only a blind person could not see it. God has now plucked the tender twig and has made the tender twig the ward of Jeremiah. And he has torn down, destroyed, plucked out, pulled down. He now has an assignment yet to finish. To plant and to build. With his remnant, he goes to Egypt. The people after Nebuchadnezzar conquered the city came to him and said, what should we do? We want a word from the Lord. Have you got a word from the Lord? We want to go down to Egypt. Should we do it? You've been pretty good at prophesying what God says. Now tell us, should we go to Egypt? Give us a word from the Lord. He says, I got one. You go down there, you're going to get killed dead. You go to Egypt, you'll be destroyed. And they all said, let's go. They didn't want a word from the Lord. They wanted support for their own desires. You see, when you get out of step with God, black is white and white is black. Jeremiah had to go along. But God says, when I destroy them down in Egypt, you and your remnant will be spared. Sure enough, they're destroyed in Egypt. And Jeremiah and his ward or wards disappear from Bible literature. They disappear. Where has Jeremiah planted? Where has he built? Where is the tender twig that must be planted in the high mountain of Israel? Nay, the highest mountain of Israel. And where will the low be made high and the dry be made live and this tree grow and cast a shadow where descendants of diverse birds or kingdoms will rest in its shade? Where is the highest mountain of Israel? Where is this planting? Where is this building? Now, God doesn't leave us without clues. He had to make it clues because there was a period of punishment where God's people under punishment had to be hidden. But God doesn't leave us without clues. Go back to Ezekiel. This is heavy stuff today. Am I boring you? Go back to Ezekiel. It's in the Old Testament. Page 918, chapter 21. God's still talking about Zedekiah. He said Zedekiah is going to be taken to Babylon and die. Now, Ezekiel is prophesying against this same Zedekiah. Thus saith the Lord, the chapter opens, 21st chapter. Son of man, set thy face toward Jerusalem. Verse 18. The word of the Lord came unto me again, saying, also thou son of man, appoint thee two ways. This is before Jerusalem ever falls. That the sword of the king of Babylon may come. Among other things, the sword of the king of Babylon will accomplish. Thus saith the Lord, verse 24, because ye have made your iniquity to be remembered, in that your transgressions are discovered. Speaking to Jerusalem now. against whom the sword of Babylon is coming in this chapter. I say that ye are come to remembrance, ye shall be taken with the hand. And thou profane wicked prince of Israel, Zedekiah gets a new name. Thou profane wicked prince of Israel, whose day is come, when iniquity shall have an end. Thus saith the Lord God, remove the diadem, take off the crown, remove the diadem, and take off the crown. This shall not be the same. Exalt him that is low. Exactly, God's word always interconnects with the rest of God's word. Exalt him that is low. Abase him that is high. I will, God speaking, overturn once as Zedekiah is brought down. Overturn twice. Overturn it. That crown, that diadem, three times. And it shall be no more. That is overturned. The reference points in the original are clear. It shall be no more. Overturned. Just three overturns. That's it. Until he come. See, there's your proof without the original language, which is even more clear. It's not overturned and will be no more. Because obviously, when he comes whose right it is to reign, he'll have that crown. I will overturn it, and it shall be no more overturned until he come whose right it is. And from the third overturn, where it is being held, it will go the fourth time to the King of Kings, whose right it is, and he shall reign forevermore. Where did that happen? Where is the mountain of Israel? Where does it go to prepare for the second overturn? Now I got a race with 70 league boots. Everything prepared for this. I preached already on Hosea. God said to a prophet, go marry that unfaithful woman, that prostitute. I want you to live in a drama of your life, what I've had to go through with people that are unfaithful to me. And have children by her. Have three. One is going to be named Jezreel, which means scattered. The second, Lo-Ruhamah and Lo-Ammah. The third. If you put Lo in front of the word, it means not. Instead of being called my people, they are to become not my people. Instead of having my mercy demonstrated on them, they are to be a demonstration, I'm not merciful to them. Jezreel means scattered. To become not my people and to become not obtaining mercy. Amos sees them win through the wilderness. And the ninth of his chapter, God says, I will separate the wheat or the grains from the chaff. And I won't lose one grain. Though they are scattered through the wilderness, I will not lose the substance, the grain, not a one of them. And Hosea concludes his chapter by saying, in the place that you've been scattered, the promise that's given to your fathers will come to pass. You will become a mighty people so large that you will be numbered as the sand of the sea and the stars of the heavens. Lost. Scattered, not having mercy, not my people, yet becoming so numerous, only the sand of the sea and the stars will count them. And in the place that you have been scattered and become not my people and not having mercy, yet as Amos said, not a grain of the substance will be lost. Chaff gone. In that place, ye shall become known as the sons of the living God. Genesis 36, we've taught as few preachers on that strange experience of Judah and Tamar, his daughter-in-law, who posed as a prostitute, and he, in his union with her, produced two twins. Out of the womb, the midwife saw a hand come forth. And because it came forth from the womb first and she had the responsibility as the midwife, she had the responsibility to tell in the birth of twins who was the firstborn. When the hand came forth from the womb, she tied a red thread around it. Because when the hand came back in the womb, she would be able to know which of the twins' hand had burst forth first. In the actual birth completed, the other twin came out first with no thread on his wrist. She calls him Pharez, meaning breach. And when the second twin was born with the red thread on his wrist, she named him Zara, which means seed and blessing. Imagine those twins and put flesh and blood on it. When Jacob, in later years, would give the blessing to his sons, Reuben, the firstborn, having forfeited the right of primogeniture, he adopts the sons of Joseph, Ephraim and Manasseh. He elevates Ephraim, the younger, and says he shall become a community of nations, and Manasseh will become a great nation. And he gives all the birthright to Joseph through these sons. But he reaches into the pot called everything by right of birth, and he gives to Judah two things. The scepter of ruling dynasty, kingship, and the lawmaking right to promulgate the laws of God's people. Judah now has two sons by Tamar. They listened to this announcement because Judah went down into Egypt with his sons. If you are of Zara, you are going to claim the right of first birth, the thread on your wrist, proved you were the firstborn. But if you are of the line of Pharaohs, you are going to claim the right of actual first full birth. Built in is a conflict that will eventually separate two twins that have a basis for arguing over the destined scepter, rulership, and lawmaking power over God's people, all of them. Pharaoh prevails. The reason Pharaoh prevails is that the descendants of Zara, ruling as brethren of Joseph, when the upper Pharaoh of Egypt cast out the rulership handled by those strange shepherd kings, the brethren of Joseph and the descendants of Jacob, Zara, his sons, left by ship, Dardanus to found Troy, another son to found Athens. From the descendants of Troy, Brutus will go to found new Troy, subsequently called London. And you will find, as he led his relatives from Troy in 400 ships, he stops by Spain, called the Iberian Peninsula, from Iberu or Hebrew, Zaragoza, from the descendants of Zara, who had left by ship, as Diodorus of Sicily had said, and settled along the Mediterranean, which is why the Trojans found relatives in the Italian peninsula, which is why Brutus found relatives called Miletians in the Iberian Peninsula. And they go on. to England and settle there. The sons of Zorah had left, and the slaves that remain are led out by Moses after almost 100 years of bondage. Zerah, his descendants, not quite as strong, though some of great wisdom, would stay and go, and their wisdom was the only source of wisdom to be compared to Solomon. Pharaoh's line produces David. God enters a new covenant, and Nathan the prophet comes. When David had united the kingdoms, having ruled partially over Judah, and then ultimately the son of Saul displaced, and all Israel recognized him as king, sitting in his palace, Nathan comes and says to him, speaking for God, I took thee from the sheepcot, from following the sheep, to be ruler over my people Israel, all Israel. And that day made a covenant that through him would come a dynasty that as long as the sun was in the sky and the moon was in the sky and the stars were up there, David would have of his seed a ruler on the throne of Israel. David's line focuses the Judah line through Pharaoh's. Now the strength and right of rulership that was debated between Zorah and Pharaoh's is fixed with Pharaoh's focused on David, that his descendants must always rule over Israel. Zorah, in the meantime, has made it to England and Ivernia, which is Ireland. The Milesian kings, the relatives of Brutus from Spain, come and conquer the Tuatha De Danann, which literally means the tribe of Dan, and the Celtic tribes of those lost 10 tribes that Ezra said took counsel when the Jews came back. Would they come back with them? And they said no. They took counsel, and 2 Ezra says, with great tumult for 1.5 years, they went through the headwaters of the Euphrates River to settle near Ar-Sareth, which can be found today, hill or city of Sareth, north of the Black Sea, and wave after wave of them populated northwestern Europe to settle in purest form in Ireland and in Scotland. A Scot is a nomad. Scot comes from Scuth, which is tabernacle, temporary dwelling place, which is the word on the Feast of Tabernacles. Your etymological dictionary will tell you a Scot is a nomad. He is a wanderer who packs up and keeps his possessions. Those Celts moved, on the move. The Tuatha De Danann, who are to mark, if you will, and seal. The tribe of Dan shall judge his people. Literally, the Dan, the judge shall judge, as a mark from a judge establishes what evidence is accepted. The Tuatha De Danann are in Ireland. The Celtic tribes are focused there. The Milesian kings of the Zorah line of Judah have left Egypt, settled Spain, go on up and conquer the Tuatha De Danann. And by the 5th century B.C., 6th century B.C., about 535, 540 B.C., the Echawood Harriman of the Milesian line of Zorah has conquered Ireland and is the High King of Ireland, ruling Ireland. About that time, Irish history has an old man show up within 5 years after the disappearance of Jeremiah and his wards. An old man shows up called Olam Fala, which simply means a prophet, a seer. He has with him a servant named Simon Breck, which is very close to Brooke. His secretary who wrote the book of Jeremiah for him. And he has the daughter of a Pharaoh. Pharaoh simply means king. He has the daughter of a king. this old man brings his ward, the daughter of a king, the other daughter, by the way, having married one of the Milesian kings in Spain, and he has with him a rock that has significance for the crowning of kings, and he has with him a harp that is none other than David's harp, which is to become the symbol of Ireland. And Heroman, Ecgwet Heroman, the king of Ireland, of the Milesian descendants of Zara, falls in love or sees this daughter of a king and desires her for wife. And Olamfala exacts from him an agreement that in return for her hand, Tara will become the place of the high kings. You don't have to do too much with Tara to have Torah that means law in a language that has no vowels. He exacts from him the right to form Mur Alam, which is a school of the prophets. He becomes the great lawmaker, writing the laws of Ireland, which provide the foundation for the ultimate common law of England, which provides the foundation for our law. He forces upon Ireland three great fees called feasts or fairs, and the only other place in the world except Israel where the whole citizenry must come three times a year to meet together, settle disputes, meet with their rulers, and lay out plans for the year, Ireland. Three great feasts. He forces them to accept the principle of cities of refuge, which God told Moses and told Joshua must be established where his people go. Cities that a manslayer can flee to, and all the citizens must keep it open. And if a man that has committed involuntary manslaughter flees down this road and gets inside the city, he is to stay there. As long as he stays there, he is safe from prosecution until the high priest dies, because God is writing in typology the safety that can be found for all sinners in Christ. Only Ireland has these cities of refuge where provisions must always be kept. And the daughter of Zedekiah, the tender twig that carries the David line, is now going to leap from Judah, or from Pharaoh's rather. The new covenant perpetuates Pharaoh's rights, but the war is going to be settled now, because Pharaoh's and Zara will now come together. The profane prince Zedekiah overturned. Now the tender twig will marry the Ecgwet Heroman, high king of Ireland, of the Zara line, and Pharaoh's through Tiatephi, whose name can be traced to the place where they stayed in Egypt, joins the Zara king to rule over Ireland, and is crowned on a stone called Leofail, which is spelled the same backwards or forwards, and means stone of destiny, which is to subsequently become the stone of Scone in Scotland, and is under the chair at Westminster Abbey, called Jacob's Pillar by modern England today, on which the kings are to be crowned. Overturn number one, Fergus of Scotland, conquers Ireland, moves the stone of destiny, Leofail, to Scotland. And in that great declaration of Scotland's independence, the Declaration of Arbroath, the Scottish Declaration of Independence, they point to their heritage and point all the way back to the children of Israel. Most Holy Father and Lord, they say in that famous Declaration of Independence for Scotland, we know, and from the chronicles and books of the ancients, we find that among other famous nations, our own, the Scots, has been graced with widespread renown. They journeyed from Greater Scythia by way of the Tyrrhenian Sea and the Pillars of Hercules, and dwelt for a long course of time in Spain. I may leave New York in the middle of this,
Just keep watching New York at late night and we'll play this and you'll hear the rest of it. I'm not going to stop. They journeyed from Greater Scythia by way of the Tyrrhenian Sea. And the Pillars of Hercules, Gibraltar, dwelt for a long course of time in Spain. This to Scotland is the equivalent of our Declaration of Independence. Dwelt for a long course of time in Spain, among the most savage tribes, but nowhere could be subdued by any race, however barbarous. Thence they came, 1,200 years after the people of Israel crossed the Red Sea to their home in the west, where they still live today. The Britons they first drove out, the Picts they utterly destroyed, and though often assailed by Norwegians, the Danes, and the English, they took possession of their home with many victories and untold efforts, and on it goes. The Scots, whose colors we wear today, recognized back in the days of Robert Bruce, their destiny came out of those sons of Israel, Jacob. When England conquered Scotland, they knew the Scottish people would never accept the rulership unless that stone, Leofail, Jacob's pillar, on which the kings of ancient Israel, including David, had been crowned, was transferred and taken. Overturn number one, the tender twig. Overturn number two to Scotland. Overturn number three, England conquers Scotland and moves the stone of destiny to Westminster Abbey. And the kings of England get any lineage, go buy it. Any lineage will trace the lineage of the British throne back through both Zara and Judah, because the third overturn puts that lineage, the dead tree of Zara, made to live, the low tree of Zara, pushed out while Pharaoh was elevated, made to be exalted, the Zedekiah line brought down, but a tender twig transferred as Jeremiah goes to the high mountain of Israel, the kingship of the whole family of Israel. And he builds and he plants, and the tree grows until the greatest empire the world has ever seen casts a shadow round the globe, and under its shadow diverse feathers and diverse wings came to rest. Only a blind man would refuse to see God weaving the tapestry. You know what that says? When God says something, He does it. When God says something, He does it. You think He doesn't know what's going on in Lebanon? He sure does. You think He doesn't know what's going on in this church? He sure does. You think He doesn't know what's going on in your life? He sure does. And God enters into all things to work His good to them which are the called according to His purpose. I don't need to make all the calls. If you're exposed to what God has done, you got to be stupid to not want to get in on His act. Can you say, rarely? Amen. Amen. Selah. Think of that. God knows this day. Man, that's a long introduction for getting back into Revelation. Do you believe that God keeps His word?
Yes, sir.
Do you realize how many people He fooled with this? I'd say we're in good hands. We're in good hands. We made it through 1984.